Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
In the spirit of the Hendrix version of his classic, happy 75th to Bob Dylan. We're celebrating his birthday in a couple of hours, 7:30 sharp. Club Soda, there are a few tickets available. That's it. A few tickets available. I'd call the box office if you'd like to go. And some of the finest musicians in Montreal and beyond will be taking the stage in support of the Andrew Besner Fund, an original member of Billy Bob Productions who passed away after fighting for 30 years plus with a brain tumor. Andy Besner passed away last year. Hope to see you out there. Melnick in the Afternoon, hour number 3 on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo.
Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
90 seconds remaining, second period. Here is Morton, out in front, Komoski scores!
Well, the initial shot from the point, Pavelski just missed on the deflection. But San Jose just kept going.
Knocked into the corner by the goal stick of Allen. Comes back out to Brent Burns. Shoots one and scores!
And what happens on this, the Blues ice it. Remember, the matchup in this game has been Stastny against Thornton. The Blues ice it. Stastny's line is not on the ice. So Pete DeBoer puts the Thornton line out there.
I thought the energy in our bench, which was excellent, really dropped a little bit after the third goal, not the fourth one to me. That was a difference.
That was last night as Ken Hitchcock's Blues drop game 5. Sharks lead it 3-2. Tonight in Tampa Bay, the Lightning can win this series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's where Pierre Maguire is between the benches tonight. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. It's kind of surprised you weren't at St. Louis, San Jose. What happened?
I was in California for game 4.
I know. That's why I expected you for game 5.
They wanted me here, and potentially if there's a game 7 in that series, I will be heading to St. Louis.
Okay, I figured that. Before we get to tonight and some decisions all around the board, what ultimately, in your opinion, won it last night for San Jose?
Well, the top line, Pavelski, Thornton, Hurdle, we've talked about them a million times. They were very good. The power play, 2 power play goals in the game. And for whatever reason, and we talked about this yesterday with Connor and Mitch Gallo and Rod. Mitch, I don't get it with St. Louis. I've done almost all their playoff games in the previous 2 rounds, and in this round I've done 1 of them, but I've watched them all. At home, they're not as good a team. They don't play with nearly the same burning passion and desire, and you could see back if he tried his butt off, but nowhere near 100%. Robbie Fabry, he got a star in the game, but he was nowhere near the same Robbie Fabry that I'd seen earlier in the playoffs. They're hurt guys. Those 2 guys are hurt. So you compound the power play for San Jose, the urgency of San Jose, and a couple of really important players not playing at 100%. That was problematic. And the narrative on Jake Allen winning game 4, that went out the window last night, so we can stop with that.
Another thing, as you're talking about their troubles at home, on the other hand, as you know, traditionally the Shark Tank has been murder for opposition teams. That wasn't the case this year. So they're used to having success. They're very comfortable on the road this year.
They're very absolutely well said. They had one of the best home records in the league, and one of the worst road records in the league. Go figure that. I will say this. On Saturday, when I was there for game 4 in San Jose, that was as loud a building at the beginning of the game as any building I'd been in this year in the playoffs. So they still have that same kind of Shark Tank mentality from their fans. Now they just have to go out there and keep their fans on their side, because once they fell behind in that game, it was pretty quiet.
You use the word identity all the time, Pierre, and specifically with regards to St. Louis. I mean, if you're going to go down in a playoff series, and maybe they'll turn it around and win, but it sure doesn't look like it. If they're going to go down, why not go down with the team that you are and the team that you were for so often during the regular season, which was the team that punishes the opposition? Why drift away from that?
I don't know, and I'm sure Ken Hitchcock and Kirk Muller and Brad Shaw, Ray Bennett, their coaching staff, they're trying to put their finger on it too. Jimmy Corsi, the goalie coach, they're trying to put their finger on it, Rod. I don't know. I can tell you, I mean, I was texting back and forth with my boss, Sam Flood, who was at the game. He was in St. Louis last night. And he even said, he says, you told me this team's supposed to be really mean and really tough. I said, they played a barbaric game on Saturday in San Jose. I mean, that was a tong war. They just put a beat down on San Jose. And then you figure they're going to, wow, we won that game pretty handily. We're going to do the same thing in St. Louis. And then they were like passive aggressive. It was really weird, really weird.
But most teams, if they're going to lose in a playoff series, don't you want to lose it doing what you do best, as opposed to worrying about something else and external factors, worrying about the opposition, whatever you do best. And if you get beat doing what you do best, well, then so be it. That was meant to happen. Shouldn't that be your mentality?
Absolutely. You know, it takes me back to Game 6 of Dallas, St. Louis, and I was doing the game with Johnny Forslund, and the one thing that really stood out, there was so much trepidation in the crowd because they were like, whoa, we got a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals. And they lost that game. They lost that game in St. Louis, and they had to go to Dallas to win a Game 7. And then you see they go to Dallas, and they play their St. Louis Blues game, and they put a beatdown on the Stars. I can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. There's something going on. I don't know what it is, but they need to be better at home if they're going to win the Stanley Cup, and right now they're in peril, serious peril.
So, Pierre, five games into the series, and Vladimir Tarasenko finds himself without a point. What are the San Jose Sharks doing to limit Tarasenko?
Not much. He's doing it to himself. He doesn't want to dominate the puck. He's not fully engaged. They've got a presence on him, but nowhere near what Crosby's going through here against Tampa, nowhere near what Malkin's going through against Tampa. I think they've kind of just left him on his own. It may come out afterwards that he's hurt. I don't know. But when I've been there, usually he's got a burst. I don't see that burst from him. He may be hurt. I don't know.
It's about throwing our game out there each night in the game that we like and we feel that's, you know, best suited for us. And when we do that, we give ourselves a good opportunity to win and we get some chances. And, you know, we believe we can be tough to play against.
If San Jose can wrap up their series and go to the Stanley Cup final, who is a better Conn Smythe Trophy candidate leading into the Stanley Cup final than that guy right there, Joe Pavelski?
Oh, it would be hard to pass him right now, but if you were asking me, I'd say Tampa's got a Victor Hedman who's been tremendous this entire playoff season. Vasilevsky's been outstanding in goal for Tampa. If Tampa were to win this series, so I think there'll be other guys in the mix, but I would say you'd be hard-pressed to pick anybody better than Joe. We've talked about him right from the start of the playoffs. I remember talking to you about, you know, you think about it, 205th. This is for all the young children out there that want to be pro hockey players. Joe Pavelski was told his whole life, too small, too slow, not good enough. Joe Pavelski was 205th in the 2003 entry draft. That's the best draft in the history of the National Hockey League. Joe Pavelski, the captain of his team. He gets 40 goals almost every single year. Everybody says he's too small, he's too slow. Still, look at him. All he does is win. He's got a heart the size of the state of California and probably the size of Wisconsin as well. He's just an amazing, amazing man. He really is.
Let's get to tonight.
Just one game, focus one game. 60 minutes, just a step on ice. And remember, it's a work hard 60 minutes. I believe my team, I believe myself, and we can back to Pittsburgh for sure.
Evgeny Malkin, he sounds ready. What do you think we'll see on the ice from him?
Well, one thing from him, he's right. They are going back to Pittsburgh for sure. Just whether they're going to play a game or not is another matter. But they looked ready in their morning skate. They did. So did Tampa, though, to be fair. The biggest thing for Pittsburgh is you can't take penalties. You have to understand Tampa understands how to close teams out. So don't let them get the lead. They beat Detroit 1-0 in Game 5 in the first round. They beat the Islanders 4-0 in the second round in Game 5. Those are the only two closeout games they've had so far this playoff season. This is their third in the third round. They're on home ice just like the previous two. They get how to close people out. And that's the biggest thing. So if you know that in your Pittsburgh, you make sure you have an electrifying start and do whatever you can to take the wind out of their sails early. If you can't do that, then I think you're in trouble.
I know you focused on Chris Kunitz pregame on NBC.
Yeah.
Who are you looking at tonight as far as alerting viewers where you are to be a possible difference maker?
Well, once we get into the game, I'm going to talk about Letang, and I think Christopher's got to make a huge difference for Pittsburgh because he was dreadful in Game 5. He knows it, and everybody else knows it. He's got to keep his temper under control. He's got to stay out of the box, and he's got to play 30-plus minutes and be a plus player. And if he is, they have a chance to win. But what I'm focusing in on is how to be the kings of the closeout, and Tampa has learned that because last year when they had a chance to knock the Rangers out in Game 6 in Tampa, they got blown right out of the building. Now, they went on the road in Game 7, and they won in a shutout in New York at MSG. They won 5-7 in a shutout. But here, what you're going to see before the game tonight, for me anyways, how these guys understand how to close out. And you're going to see replay from the Detroit Game 5, and you're going to see replays from the Islander Game 5. And I did those games, and I can tell you, they were really good when it came to the closeout.
Yesterday at this time, Mitch Gallo asked you about the Trevor Daley injury, and it's pretty thin on the Pittsburgh blue line after Letang. So of those players, Pierre, who does have room to up their game a little bit and make it a bit easier on Letang?
Lovejoy's going to have to because he plays on the right side. Dumoulin's going to go on and be partners with Letang. They're going to try to stabilize him defensively, and Dumoulin's very good at that. So you won't see a lot of different partners for Christopher. You'll probably see just one Dumoulin. But I think Ben Lovejoy's got a chance to elevate. I thought he played a tremendous Game 5. I really did. And he's going to probably have to play close to 20 minutes, and that's something he doesn't really do a lot of. But he's the guy I think has to up it the most.
Matt Murray's our starting goaltender, and the reason, just like we make all our lineup decisions, we try to put players on the ice that we think is give us the best chance to win.
Well, that, of course, it's so under so much scrutiny and spotlight, the goaltending situation.
Yeah.
What did you make of Marc-Andre Fleury's performance, and do you think Mike Sullivan's making the right move tonight?
First of all, I didn't think Fleury's performance was that bad. A lot of people are shredding him. The Killorn shot's a perfect shot. I mean, it's as perfect a shot. Now, did he go down a little early? Was he looking small in that? Yes, he was. I know a lot of goalies that win games that do that. They make one mistake, and they usually look pretty good. What I think happened to Fleury, and one of the reasons why I don't think he's playing tonight, because they did a lot of fact-finding at the coaching staff, I think he was fatigued as the game went along. And that's part of it. You can take all the shots you want in practice. You can practice till the cows come home. Until you're in a game and there's bumping and grinding and pushing and tracking of the puck and breaking down your legs and breaking down your upper body and having people impede your vision, you can never simulate that. It's not like a pitcher in baseball pitching a simulated game. It's a completely different exercise. And I just think he broke down physically, and it led to, obviously, Tampa coming from behind after having a 2-0 lead. The Pittsburgh Penguins lost that game, and they probably should not have, but I don't blame Fleury for that. There were a lot of other guys that were not good enough in that game.
Do you think that they think, especially with the Daley injury, that they need their goaltender to help them win? It's not like they can outplay Tampa in Tampa with Tampa on the verge of going to another Stanley Cup final, that they need their goalie to steal it.
I think so. I think that's a really good point, Mitch. I really do. Being around them and knowing their coaches and being around their broadcasters, I think that's kind of the mentality they had coming down on the plane from Pittsburgh yesterday, that the goalie is going to have to be really good. And if the goalie is really good and they get a lead, they can win. And then once they go back to Pittsburgh, all bets are off. I mean, they got a legitimate chance to win if they can win tonight.
All right. So all things being equal, and it's, you know, there's been some strange developments, as there is every spring. How do the Pittsburgh Penguins win and force this series to go longer than it might look at the moment? In addition to getting the kind of goaltending they need.
The score on the power play, which is something they really haven't done a lot of in this series. It's something they need to be better at, especially with the firepower that they have. I don't know how many power plays will be handed out, but you got to think there'll be at least three per team. So score on the power play, get a good start, don't fall behind by more than two goals, and don't panic if you do fall behind. But you've got to find a way, and this is the problem. And I was talking to Phil Bork, one of my old players, about this, who works on the radio in Pittsburgh. Kucherov is way too comfortable now. The last three games, two assists in game three, two assists in game four, two goals and an assist in game five. At the beginning of the series, he was quiet, but now this is what happens with point getters. They start to dominate and they feel comfy, cozy in a series. They got to have more of a presence on him. Tyler Johnson, last three games, three goals, one assist. They got to get a presence on him. He's starting to get too comfortable. And the problem is that the offensive players for Tampa are starting to warm up, so they have to have a plan to shut those guys down. That's a big problem right now for Pittsburgh.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire, who's on site in Tampa prior to the game tonight, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh Penguins. A reminder coming up at 5:35, Mo Pete of TSN on the Raptors suddenly tying up the Eastern Conference Finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Rod?
Pierre, when you've got Crosby and Malkin on your team, and I'm talking about the opposition here, when you're looking at a team that has Crosby and Malkin, understandably, they're going to be a focus. But when you look at a line that's played so well throughout the playoffs, like Kessel, Bonino, and Hagelin, does your pregame emphasis shift at all to the line that is hottest and most productive, or do you just default back to the guys with the best resumes like Crosby, Malkin?
No, I've tried to explain this to people because I've been here the entire time and did a lot of Pittsburgh games over the playoff season, Rod. The reason, and it's not a knock on Hagelin or Bonino or Kessel, they've played great. You take what's given to you, and they've taken what's been given to them, and that's a lot of open ice. They're not playing in matchup situations. You know, they're just not playing against heavy artillery. They're playing against Braden Coburn and Matt Carl more times than not in this series. That is not the ideal matchup for Tampa, but that's what Tampa has right now. Those are the players they have available. So what they're doing, Tampa, that is, without getting out of rhythm, which they did at the beginning, they're utilizing different matchup situations against Crosby and Malkin, and that's one of the reasons why Crosby and Malkin have been so quiet. But the unsung guy for this Tampa team, and Mitch asked me about it before, if I had to focus in on one guy, Valtteri Filppula. Valtteri Filppula was off the charts good in game number four, and really, really good in game five. Fantastically good in game five. And it's not about points with him. It's about the way he dominates the puck and the way he shuts down guys like Malkin and Crosby.
That's not his role in a series like this. That's anything's a bonus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Yzerman knew what he was getting when he got him from Detroit, because obviously Steve was around him. But Val Filppula, tonight will be his 151st playoff game in his career. And you think about it. You know how many games that is? I know you know. Playoff games, that's unbelievable how many playoff games that is for that player. He was a fourth-round pick coming out of Jokerit in Finland. Nobody counted on him. He was drafted in 2002. He's had a tremendous career. And you talk about guys that understand how to win and close people out. That guy gets it.
All right, just before we let you go to work for NBC, I want to ask you about a couple of coaches. Did you ever cross paths with John Brophy?
Yes, very much. I coached against him in the minors. Had a very good relationship with him, liked him very much. I talked with one of my dear friends yesterday, Dave Allison, who was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens and played for John Brophy in Nova Scotia with the Voyageurs. And Allie and I had probably an hour talk yesterday just about some stories that we could both share privately about John and the respect we had for John. I knew John pretty well.
And we're still waiting for the Montreal Canadiens to announce something with their coaching staff, a hiring of some kind. The Boston Bruins have announced that Bruce Cassidy and Jay Pandolfo have joined Claude Julien's staff, and Doug Jarvis will not return.
Well, that first, let's start with Cassidy. He's a former head coach in the league. He's done a great job with their players down in Providence. They're kind of transitioning their roster a little bit. Pandolfo is a Boston guy. He's very tight with the Bruins management group. He finished his career there. He's a Stanley Cup winner in New Jersey, played at PU. I've known Jay forever. I think I had Jay in hockey school when he was really young. So, no, those moves make sense for Boston, because I've told you this for a while. I'm going to stick with it. There are two teams in the East that got a ton of prospects. One is Philadelphia, and the other one's Boston, so you probably want to have a young staff to work with those young players.
Yeah, Frankie Vetrano looked pretty good at the World Hockey Championship that just completed.
That's one guy. I mean, I can go down the line with some of the guys they have coming. People better buckle up, because Boston missed the playoffs the last 2 years. They got a bunch of guys coming. The cavalry is coming to help them out.
8 o'clock tonight. We look forward to seeing it, Pierre, and we'll talk to you about it tomorrow. Thanks as always.
And by the way, thank you very much for your note when I was in San Jose. That meant a lot. I was grinding it out this weekend. It was nice to get some feedback.
Well, nice to be able to see and hear you guys, really. Believe me. I think I speak for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. It meant a lot. It really, you have no idea. It was grinding. Let's put it that way.
Thanks, Pierre.
Take care.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.